Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Nick Shepard, 15 years of combination experience, unknown to him until later, second-generation firefighter. At the age of 10, a grass fire accidentally started in front of his home. While his mother called 911, Nick filled up a bucket with water and extinguished the fire prior to the fire department's arrival. He took a picture afterwards with one of the firefighters who later on in life became the chief of the volunteer organization he joined. That same chief saw the potential in Nick and one day laid down an application for Wilmington Fire and told him there's opportunity for growth and pushed him to apply. After getting on, Nick's mindset never changed. Every time you're on shift is a day to learn and experience something new. How Nick views the fire service is how all should strive to achieve. With that, I present Nick Shepard.
Appreciate everybody. My name's Nick Shepard. I work for the City of Wilmington Fire Department. I'm assigned to Truck One downtown. Absolutely love truck work. I've been in the fire service for 15 years. I've been with the City of Wilmington for a little over 10 years now. Have gone to a couple companies between engine companies and truck companies. Truck work is where my heart's at. I started in the fire service, kind of just a love for it straight off the bat. Fire department coming to the schools, getting in the gear, things of that sort, doing stop, drop, and roll with the fire department, in elementary school. That's where my passion hit pretty hard pretty quickly. And then just continued on through school. And kind of like a big marker for me that was like, this is what I want to do. Me and my mom were kind of just hanging out in front yard. Those big tractors that come by that cut the grass on the side ended up coming by and cut a guide wire to a telephone pole, and it sparked up and lit the field in front of our house on fire. So I was running back and forth as a little kid, like 10 years old, with a bucket of water, running back and forth, trying to put the fire out. Luckily, I was able to put it out before the fire department got there. Took a picture with one of the guys who was, he was a lieutenant, and, took a picture with him. Didn't even really think anything of it. Was passionate about it. I was like, man, that's awesome. That was cool. Like, they got to come here. They came to put the rest of the fire out. They took their time to, talk shop a little bit with me and joke around and took a picture. Years went on and, still kind of had that hunger for it. As you go through school, you kind of have different ideas of what you want to do and things just move all over the place. But ended up getting to when I got to high school, I was doing a project, and first project I think of was fire service. Figuring out the ins and outs of it, figuring out the gear, wanting to feel how heavy it was, wanting to see about the training they do. And as soon as I went to my local department, I'm from a little small town, Swansboro, North Carolina, about an hour and a half away from Wilmington. But as soon as I got there on that department, the same guy that was there when I was 10 years old as a lieutenant, he was now a chief there. So it was cool being able to kind of reminisce on some old stuff and, talk about that day. And he remembered it. And right off the bat then, at 17 years old, I got on the department, started volunteering, started getting some certifications. My mom, she wasn't too happy at first because she was a nervous wreck, but it was good. I had a great time. She understood how excited I was about it. And shortly after I got on, people kept asking me, they were like, man, like, your name's Nick Shepard. I was like, yeah. And they showed me a plaque that was sitting at Swansboro Fire Department. And my uncle apparently was the fireman there years and years ago before that. And I had no idea about that. So that was kind of cool seeing his name up there and seeing the plaque. Since then, just kept volunteering, trying to, you know, it was, I was definitely that hungry firefighter as a volunteer. We didn't stay too far from the station, maybe like a, I want to say probably a 3 to 5 minute drive in the car away from the station. But kind of one of the stories that my mom likes to tell people and just kind of laugh about is we ended up having a call and I was super dedicated for it. Fell asleep on the couch. I was still in my uniform. Didn't even want to take it off. And call came out and go to hop in my car. My car won't start. So then I hopped on a little BMX bike and rode my bike all the way to the station and still made the first out truck getting there. So that was cool in that sense. But just continued on my career with that and you know just stayed in love with it. Stayed trying to be a student of it and you know learning as much as I can and taking classes, reading books, watching videos, putting hands on whatever I could, asking people questions, all those things. And was fortunate enough to start my career as a full-time fireman at the age of 20. And been with Wilmington since I was 22.
Okay. Was Wilmington always the goal, or once you found out, like, hey, I can do this career-wise, did you apply to any and everywhere, or was Wilmington where you wanted to go?
So that's a good question. I didn't even know about Wilmington. I didn't even know where it was. I was from this little small town. I didn't travel out of there much. It was just mainly like maybe 30 or so minutes away from where I was from, or you know, as far as I traveled. But the department I was working at, the chief there, he told me, he was like telling me every day, he's like, hey man, this is a great department. You're gonna have fun here. There's a lot of great people. He's like, but this is not a department for young people. This is a department where people are gonna ride it out and basically until they retire or you know, they just quit or whatever. He's like, they are locked in their position, so there's not really room for promotions and stuff. He's like, you need to get out of here. And so like he pushed hard on getting me out of there. And you know, many days he would throw applications on my desk. Hey man, this place is hiring. Hey man, this place is hiring. And Wilmington came across and I was like, man, like that's cool, man. Like Wilmington, never been there before, but hey, let's try it out. It ain't that far from home. And you know, I'm very big on family and family oriented. So, you know, it's far enough away, but still close enough where, you know, I can still get back and, you know, hang out with family. Don't miss a lot of, you know, too much events and whatnot. But, yeah, he put the application for that, told me about it. I applied. At that time, I think there was like 600 plus applicants that that did it the same time as me. And got hired. I got lucky and got hired in 2014.
Okay. And so for those that don't know, and I know just a little bit, but can you tell us about Wilmington? How many stations, how many engines, trucks, things of that nature of the department?
We're in the process of building our 10th station right now. We have four ladder trucks, the rest, nine engines. We're building a station kind of, which is it's kind of going to be in its own little area. It's going to be pretty busy back there. We've kind of have like a void space right now, so that space that station is definitely needed. So, like I said, I'm a truck company guy, but we have four ladder trucks in the city. We have one tiller, one downtown that I'm assigned to 100 foot, and then we have a rear mount. 107 foot stick and at station five. And then we have truck eight over and they cover the college. They're mid mount 100 foot bucket. And then you have a mid mount 70 foot ladder for truck seven.
Okay.
But it's kind of crazy because Wilmington is definitely full of history. I learned a lot about the history trying to basically get hired with the department because I wanted to kind of see, you know, the backstory behind it and stuff like that. And then I found out a lot more. There's actually a documentary on Wilmington called Wilmington on Fire. And in 1897 prior, Wilmington was a predominantly black department. They had multiple little fire companies throughout called the Fire Kings, Vigilant, Cape Fear, Atlantic, all those little small department or small stations or groups. They were predominantly black, and the only full white company was Atlantic. They had 200 plus black volunteer firefighters here. In Wilmington, they had what's called a coup d'etat, which is a overthrow of government. So still to this day, Wilmington holds the only successful one. And so in 1898, that coup d'etat happened, overthrew the government. Bunch of people came down, fired a bunch of firemen, and we didn't hire our first black fireman until 1960 something. So the history was pretty strong with it, and once I kind of found that out, it was kind of more of a drive to stay here and just like be an outlet and a figure to help people and other people around in the community know like you can be a fireman too. Like it's not just what you might see on, TV and, all the fire shows that's out there. Like, this is real life. Like you can do it.
And as far as I'll kind of get back to a couple questions with that, but as far as your apparatus, what's your minimum staffing on your engines and your trucks?
So, downtown, we are definitely blessed with that. So downtown, they put the minimal staffing of four on the engine and the truck. We just had a recruit class of 25 that graduated at the end of February or the beginning of February. And I'm lucky enough on my truck that we run five. And the rest of the city, they kind of bounces back between three and four. So I actually don't even drive anymore. I ride in charge. Yeah. So yeah, our battalion chief, he retired. So my captain has slid over to the acting battalion chief role, and then I slid over as the acting captain role on the truck.
All right. And EMT basics or advanced? Do you guys do advanced or is it all basic?
So we're all basic. The hospital, they cover the EMS side of it. So we'll run with the ambulances out there and start patient care, and then they come over and take over.
All right. And what's your first alarm assignment when it's a residential structure within the city of Wilmington? What do you get on your first alarm?
Three engines, a truck, a rescue, a safety officer, and a battalion chief.
All right. And approximately, it doesn't have to be exact. How many calls do you guys see a year?
Last year was about 20,000.
All right. And nine stations.
Yes.
That's pretty busy. It's pretty
Yeah.
busy. I'm gonna kind of go back to what you stated earlier about the history, because it's one of the things too. I feel like it's kind of a lost art in a sense, or it's just not pushed enough where like people look at XYZ fire department and they're like, I want to get hired there. And then if they're fortunate to get hired on, nobody really kind of deep dives into how the department was formed, why trucks are certain colors, or why does this insignia on here, why is the station's area called this and that, things of that nature. So everybody has one guy in their department that's like a history buff that knows the ins and outs of the fire department. So I'll say the question I'll ask you is, why did you feel it was important for you to do that?
I felt that just being a minority in the department, I kind of wanted to figure out the backstory behind it. And like you said, every department has a history buff. We definitely have one for sure. He has since retired, but he now runs the fire classes over at the community college around us. So I see him all the time, ask him questions from time to time. But I just kind of wanted to see the history of the department of how we started. And the transition of how things have came from then, things that people may have encountered back then, and maybe is it anything in relation to that? Is anything changes, changing or anything, or is it, continuing the same? Are we operating the same way, or have we changed up our skills and how we do things? So I kind of wanted to just dive deep and figure out the backstory behind things and figure out, like, exactly where I'm at, what I'm doing, how to tread, how to operate, and kind of, go forth with that to try to build myself, to make myself as an asset. Knowing not only knowing the history about it, but that also goes into just like knowing your rig, knowing your apparatus, knowing your position, knowing what you're doing, all in all of just really, being a thinking fireman.
Okay. All right. So you get hired on with Wilmington. I'm assuming, did you have some sort of academy that you had to go through?
Yes. So I had all my certs beforehand. I had all my certs, my EMT, everything beforehand. But how Wilmington does it is you still go through the academy, you still go through the EMT. The only thing I didn't have to do was take the state test at the end for the EMT. So then all my hours counted towards Con Ed and whatnot. But it's a 6 month academy, Monday through Friday. You work the same hours as the city workers. So like if there's a holiday, then you're off for that. Once you finish that academy, you get to go to this school that's community college, which is right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, Gastonia. And you go to Gaston College and you're there for 4 days, and you're basically putting everything that you put in for the academy and you're using it there. So all's under live fire. So like that's kind of like your reward for going through the academy, and you just learned all these nuggets and pick them up, and it's like, all right, cool. I get to use what I just did before I get on the line. I get to actually apply it and see what they've been talking about. Man, they talk about we move quick on the fire ground, or we stretch the lines quick, or we throw ladders quick, or we search quick. Like, we can talk about it over and over again, but like doing these real life scenarios on a live fire, some heat, some smoke, your low visibility, like changes the game. So like being able to have that opportunity, that was great. And then you go through your graduation, and then you get during your graduation, they call your name up there, and you get assigned to wherever they seem fit for you to go to. Or if some of the companies have been asking about you, then you might get lucky enough to go there.
Do you guys do that with every recruit that where you once they're done, they travel to Gaston College?
Yeah. Every
Nice.
academy has been doing that. I think this past academy we didn't do it. I think mainly because I think Gaston College, they were doing some renovations and stuff in that time frame, and we just weren't able to do it. But yeah, we send a class there, and then newer promoted officers, they also go there as well. So now they get a group with them, and now they're running as their crew.
Damn, okay. I kind of like that. Okay, all right. I got some questions later on about that. All right. So you make it, you graduated. What was your first assignment?
My first assignment, I was downtown. I was on Engine 31. It was an old I think early 90s Suffin. Didn't have a Jake brake on it. You basically had two modes. You just either go or stop. It was fun. I got a lot of experience downtown on that engine. We were busy. So that was definitely great. I had a great crew. They taught me a lot. And then I think I was only there for about 8 months to a year before another academy came behind us. And then they were like, hey, Shep, your positive attitude, and we need you to go to this station over here. And I was like, okay. And it's like, you know what? It is what it is. Whatever assignment, it is what it is. We're still here for the job. I'm having fun. Night and day, Night and day. Went from busy to not busy at all. But keep a smile on your face, training. I was having fun. So I was on a couple engines right off the bat. And then I got lucky enough when we started going through our pumps academy and learning pumps and all that. One of the guys from Truck 8, he was like, "Yeah, I want him on my truck." So I got a phone call and they were like, "Hey man." And I didn't think it was, up to me. They were like, I was always told, like, "Look, you don't say nothing, you do your job. If they send you wherever, if you made a mark on somebody and they're like, 'Hey, we're gonna send you here,' or you stay where you are, cool, it is what it is." But I was fortunate enough, got a phone call and they're like, "Hey, do you want to go back downtown with your old crew, or do you want to switch shifts and go to Truck 8?" I was like, "Hey, send me to Truck 8." I was like, I want truck work.
Okay. So one of my questions I have for you is, you definitely had some fire service experience, coming into Wilmington. So did you seek out those heavy hitters, those rock stars, as I call them, or was that just something you just knew, hey, even if I'm putting this in a spot where I'm around some not motivated firefighters, I'm just going to continue to do me and continue to train.
100%. Like I never so like went to go seek anyone out. I was just always trained of, from start to finish, like, man, do the job, love the job, train hard. Throughout the day, you should be putting your hands on something every day, some kind of tool every day, some kind of training every day. At least learning something new. So like each time, I'm a very talkative person. Like I'll go talk to anybody, meet anybody, have a conversation with anybody, talk shop with anybody. Obviously also, understanding the rank structure and, respecting that. So, going up, shaking their hands, that sort, but like, being very open to new experiences, new training, because I knew, even though I had experience coming in, like I know I didn't know everything. I know that they were going to teach me something new. So I was trying to basically be in the mindset of, yes, I know this stuff, but you don't know everything. So be open to, new perspectives, new trainings, new skills, maybe something that will work a lot better than what you've even been doing before. So, I'd always tried to just be open and work as hard as I could.
Okay. And why truck work? Everyone has their niche. You got some people that are like, "Hey, I'm all about search. I'm all about RIT. I'm all about water application, hose, nozzles." Why search? Or I'm sorry, why the truck company aspect for you?
I got heavy into the truck work because my crew that I had when I was in the fire service before I made it to Wilmington, my captain, he was big on, "Hey, we need to search. We got to move quick. This is how we move quick. This and this." He's like, "When we respond over to, mutual aid with different departments, like this is our job." And I was like, "Okay, I need to get better at that." And my engineer, he was a truckie from Flint, Michigan, so he drilled it in hard, and he was fired up every day. It didn't matter from clock in to clock out. He was always moving, always doing something, putting his hands on something, talking loud always. But it was a good time, and he trained me on a lot of stuff. So like, whenever I came to Wilmington, like I teach as well. I teach in the academies as well, and I, try to tell people coming in, like, find you something that you're passionate about. Find you something that you really love. Some people will tell me, "Man, I love engine work, I love truck work." But like, okay, there's a lot that goes with each one of those skills. Which one do you really love and you want to dial into? So now when people are talking, like, "Hey, man, I got a couple questions about, forcible entry or ladders." All right, do you want to be that person that they throw your name in the hat and be like, "Oh man, well, this person's real good at this." My love has been ladders. I absolutely love ladders. I love the every aspect there is to ladders. I love all the things that you can do with them. the capacities of them, the meanings of them. So like I definitely pride myself on trying to be a ladders guy in the city.
Okay. And at what point in your career, what occurred or what triggered I don't want to say triggered your response, but what triggered the notion of, hey, I want to move up to that next rank?
I felt it was, I try to tell people to, I just kind of told people of like what worked for me or what happened for me. It was one of those where, I felt that I could be an asset at the next level. Whenever I was at the slower station, I didn't have a captain that was, wanting to train. Like, yeah, I went
Right.
from a busy station that was, wanting to do stuff, want everybody's hands on. There was a lot of us down there, everybody's doing something. And that was a multi-company house. We had two engines, a ladder, and a battalion chief down there. And then I got moved from there straight to a single company, one engine house. And my captain then didn't want to train. He didn't want to put hands on what's that kind of thing. And that kind of triggered it at that point where I was like, you know what? Learn as much as you can at the firefighter level. Be a thinking fireman. We are, regardless of whatever rank that we take, probationary firemen to firemen to, people do lieutenants, engineers, captains, all that, whatever it is, we're firemen first. So instilling that into myself of understanding, hey, you're a fireman first and be a thinking fireman, allowed me to be like, you know what? I'm ready to take that next step. I had a lot of great people around me that helped me train in that aspect. I knew going to engineer was not just driving the apparatus. Yeah, you can make it from the station to your address. Awesome. But are you able to position that apparatus appropriately? I'm big on positioning and not parking. Like, our cars in the parking lot, those are parked. But when we come on scene, like, are you positioning in the operation of, all right, your hose lines are coming off the back? Are you pulling past the house? Or is your truck company spotting correctly on the alpha side, getting it in position to where they're ready to work the first time, not having to do any adjustments? What are you looking at, kind of thing? So when I took on that role, or expressed the idea of wanting to go for promotion to engineer, I had overwhelmingly just support from different engineers, from engine companies to truck companies, and it was great. I learned a lot from a lot of great people, and then allowed to take that information to basically mold how I operate.
Love it. Love it. The positioning, not parking. And the fact that you mentioned it's not just getting from point A to point B and I'm done. And I think that's where sometimes, like me, I'm a huge proponent. I think the best position in the fire service, in my opinion, only is the driver's role. I think a true driver can make or break the company. True drivers make or break captain's duties, meaning like, if the captain has a great driver who knows where he's going, he checks it. Hey, you know where we're going? Yep, know where I'm going. All right, cool. Like one less thing he's got to worry about. You need something, you turn around, your driver's right, it's right there on the ground. Like I think that there's an art form to driving. And I feel
Absolutely.
like some people use that position as a crutch where it's like, well, if I don't want to have to put my gear on and just do the bare minimum, I'm gonna take that driver. And I think that's where the driver's role gets a bad taste in some people's mouths.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of work that a driver can really get, even if it's, even if you're on an engine company and you pull up first due. Say you're on a three-person engine company. You can't send water to that line until it's flaked out. So there's other operations that you can be doing. Like, if you're blessed enough to have a company coming to lay you in a line and you're not too concerned about water supply at that point, All right, cool. Well, you can run to the back, help assist that fireman with stretching that line. You can get a ladder to the building. All those things can go into play. And if you're moving quickly enough, you can get back to the rig. So by the time that fireman's there, flaked out, ready to mask up, the captain's done their 360, and now you're sending them water. Now you're kind of getting all your stuff, your ducks in a row of what you need to do, what operation you need to do. But you just accomplish a few things at that point. Even if it, kind of switching it up a little bit as well. Even I've seen and heard a couple captains tell me, like, sometimes their engineers will stretch that line to the front door while the fireman goes straight to the front door and forces it while the captain's doing the 360. Being again that thinking fireman, but there's so much that goes into that of like stretching to the proper position, forcing the door properly. Looking at your hinges, looking at whatever, fire conditions are presenting to you in that situation. But yeah, I absolutely love, love, love being an engineer, and seeing the different perspective from riding up in the captain seat. I couldn't ask for a better crew. They know what they're doing. I don't have to say much to them. Just, I mean, we've been working together for quite a few years now. So we know how each other thinks, we know how each other operates. And that relationship is definitely key for sure.
Now, granted, you're not a company officer, and I'm gonna say yet, because I think I see where this is gonna go for the future with you. But with that being said, with you being able to be in the front left seat and the front right seat, do you see a difference? Whereas, like, as company officer, you're kind of standing back more and watching them work, or do you still find yourself still trying to get engaged in the game?
I am definitely big on a worker. So like I always like to have my hands getting in there, training, put my hands on stuff, being a part of that. And like probably the first month or so, I had to really figure out like, all right, let's try to dial the reins back on myself and let my firemen do their job. I have two great or three great firemen on my truck. One's a rookie. The other two, they've been with me for a few years. They've been taking on creating training for the station. They've taken on helping mold the younger firefighters to basically build up. They ask me questions from time to time, but for the most part, like it's been cool being able to step back and know that, you know what, they're handling it. Things are great. Training's great. But there's a lot of times where I'm like, man, I don't feel like being on the computer and doing this report. I'll do that report later. I want to get out here with the crew and check out different areas in the in our response district, see if we can, accomplish different things. Hop off, throw ladders somewhere, alleyways, whatever it is. But it's cool being a part of that crew and being all together.
Okay. With that being said, in your opinion, what does the term aggressive mean to you?
I think that goes hand in hand with being a thinking fireman. Like I think that word gets misconstrued by some people. Where they're like, oh man, you're being aggressive. Nah, you're not thinking smart. You're just running in there acting all crazy. No, like being an aggressive fireman is knowing your job, knowing exactly what needs to happen, knowing what jobs and what tasks need to happen. If you pull up on scene and you're not being that thinking fireman, you're not throwing that ladder in the proper position, you're not hurrying up and getting to that door to do your search, forcing that door, things of that sort, and really understanding that, expecting fire every time you go on shift, expecting when you get to that fire, there's a victim inside. If you expect those things, then your mode of operation of how you're doing your job runs smoother. Your crew seeing that they're moving quicker. Now they're moving with a more of a pace. They're seeing what you're doing. If you're running kind of lax and pushing stuff off to the side, stuff trickles downhill and they're like, oh, well, they're not doing that, so no, I'm not going to do it. And so, you know, I feel being an aggressive aggressive fireman is key for the success of how we accomplish our goals on the fire scene.
Okay. And as far as mentorship, like for especially for newer, it doesn't really have to be newer firefighters, but it helps if you're a newer firefighter, trying to seek out those the ones that you know, like, hey, that's a gem of firemen. They're a great fireman. How important is it for whether you're new or, you know, doesn't matter how many years you got on, finding that individual or finding those individuals that you can relate to and definitely pick up positive traits that'll help your career.
I learned from somebody like a long time ago. They were like, regardless of who it is, you're gonna learn from somebody whether they're good or bad. You're gonna learn from their bad traits and figure out who you don't want to be like, and then you'll learn from their good traits or somebody else's good traits of how you want to mold yourself and build your own foundation for how you're gonna be successful in this career. Definitely finding somebody that you know you look up to and that you know, you ask questions to you sit down with and kind of pick their brain is highly important in this fire service, in this career. There's a lot of people that have seen a lot more than I have and done a lot more than I have. And I definitely go about of asking them questions about things. There's even, you know, buddies that I have that we're the same age, been in the fire service the same amount of time, but you know, I know their departments are busier than ours. So then, like, you know, I'll send them videos about, you know, different types of search techniques. Hey man, what do you think about this? Well, we try this or we do this. All right, well, what about this video of throwing this ladder this way? I like it or I don't like it. It doesn't work for this or whatever kind of situation. So like, building relationships in general helps out your career.
Right. One question I forgot to ask you regarding your department. I'm assuming engines do engine work and trucks do truck work, right? Your trucks have no hose, no water.
So, we do have hose, we do have water, but we kind of operate in the sense of that's a last resort.
Gotcha.
If we pull up first, do, then obviously, you know, we got to do what we got to do.
Okay.
Press lines, and then we result over to the engine work. And that's why I hit pretty hard on, hey, we're firemen first. Yeah, we're assigned to the truck companies, and we know we're going to do truck work when we go to these calls. Listening in on the radio on the way in, or you knowing the distance in between us downtown, we're pretty close to each other, so we're pretty stacked up when we get to different calls. But knowing if the engine that I have, engine one down there, is you know a little bit further away, kind of gauging that. If I know they're right on our tails or right around the block, then we're sticking to truck work and they're coming in doing engine work. But if I know they're a little further away, then you know. Luckily, I have the capability that I can split up with being five people on there.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go back just a little bit earlier in the beginning. You know, it seems like for at least for your experience, you know, when you got on the volunteer organization, you had that chief that was like, hey, he saw something and he was like, hey, this and the great thing to me is he was able to admit like, hey, listen, as far as advancement, it's going to be a while. So, like, you need to go seek employment elsewhere where you can get to those positions that he felt like you needed to be. One of the thing that sticks out to me is you found your way to the fire department. It's not like they came knocking at your door. Granted, you did have that incident where they did show up, but it's not like somebody rang your doorbell and said, hey, we would like for you to be on the fire department. You went out and seeked it. So my question to you is, how do you feel about, especially in this day and time now, there are certain organizations where they're seeking out specifics of individuals. For me, you know, I'll always be a minority in the fire service, and I'm 100% okay with that. And I've said it before in other interviews, you know, fire service is predominantly white male. I'm 100% okay with that. All right, because it's funny because I joke around with like some of my friends and they're like, you go to this, you see that? Like, nah, that ain't it for me, dog. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, everybody has their own thing. But What's your take on organizations that specifically like pass up, and I hate they do that, they pass up really good individuals to meet quotas?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I don't like the fact of trying to seek out a specific demographic just to meet numbers. Because at the end of the day, like I want people that are great firemen that want to work, that want to do the job. You don't have to be a certain way to be to have that drive, to have that
Right.
passion. Any hard work, any of those things, right? Like, we can teach you the skills all day long. If you just happen to be a minority at that time, then awesome. But I want great firemen that want to do the job that are going to make our department be more successful. Because at the end of the day, like we're here for the community. Like we don't want to be just out here trying to pick numbers and fill these voids and pick up this quota here and pick up this quota here. And now this person that comes up and they're all lackadaisy, don't really care about it, just kind of going through the motions. And now it's like, especially, for me personally, if it's another brother and he get hired on and all of a sudden he ain't hitting right and he ain't doing what he need to do, like, hey man, like we worked hard for this. we work hard for this. So,
Right.
I'm gonna need you to check in or something. But yeah, I don't agree with that aspect of it. Like there's a lot of great firemen out there. Like they're just kind of, if we find them and they come out, that's awesome. But like we shouldn't be passing up great firemen just because
Right.
of it.
Right.
Hey, we just didn't read that number yet, so we need to move this person out and slide in these people here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because one of the things I dislike is when they say, well, we're doing this because we're trying to match the community that we serve. And I'm like, that's just like, no, because my whole mindset is they will find you. If they want to become firefighters, they will seek you out. You do not need to specifically start hitting like low income areas or whatever whatever the case may be to meet your quota or to meet that checkbox. And it's like, stop. We need to stop reinventing the wheel. Like it's to me as somebody who's not white, it's a field where you're doing things that most minors would be like, nah, I'm good. Like fire's hot, smoke is real. Like I don't want to do this, and it's like that's okay. And so, I always just kind of like to get that message out there. Like it's not that they will find you. Like if I could tell HR that or whoever's doing the way we need to get these numbers, these individuals will find you.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. Ran into a couple kids today at the Career Academy. Started talking to them. I was like, man, y'all ever think about the fire service? They're like, oh, no, man. Fire? No, I ain't trying to play with that. Like, absolutely, man.
I want to talk about this perspective appreciation. I don't know much about it, so I'm going to let you have it on that one.
So back when the George Floyd incident happened, once that happened, there was a lot of division
Absolutely.
within the world, within our city, within the department, within the police departments. So like you kind of hear things that are going around. So throughout a good bit of that, probably like the next few weeks after that, there was a lot of conversation going on. And a few of my friends would reach out to me and they're like, hey man, like there's some conversation going on at the station. I'm getting pissed off about it. I don't know how to operate. I don't know how to say. I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know how to have the conversation. Like, I don't like it, but it's pissing me off. And I'm like, all right, well, now I'm starting to get pissed off. So I'm like, all right, I need to figure out something on, how I can, help have a conversation with people. So like, I come home and talk to my wife, and she's like, she came up with the idea. She's like, why don't you do some kind of discussion forum to where, you know, you're explaining to the department about, you know, learning the different ways of how, you know, perspectives are and how people live and, you know, how people were raised, different kind of things of that sort. And I was like, you know, that's a good idea. So like, I was like, ain't no way I could do this by myself. So, I asked a couple people in the department. We went to the chiefs. The chiefs, they were receptive of it. They were like, yeah, sounds like a great idea. Like trying to get ahead of the game before it entered fully into our department. Things were happening definitely around our area to where, you know, there were peaceful protests. And then one of the nights it got real crazy. It ended up turning into a not so peaceful protest. Years ago when I first moved to Wilmington, I was still on a fire I was in the fire service, but like on weekends when I had days off, I was a bouncer downtown. So I knew a lot of people that were downtown. So I knew a lot of faces and down there. Well, during that protest, there was nobody down there that I even recognized. So like they came in from different areas. So with that class, we were able to you know, get the chiefs on board. And all we wanted to do was basically, you know, just shoot shop with just people, just talking to them, people that wanted to come and have conversations over a couple beers, whatever, just, you know, really getting to know each other. And at the time, our chief at the time, before he retired, he was like, no, we're gonna make this mandatory. Everybody's gonna go through it, this and that. And I was like, yeah, all right, cool. That's that. Didn't want that to happen. So that ended up becoming a mandatory class. We ended up teaching 9 classes in 3 days. So we were going to like 3 different areas of our department that throughout those 3 days. Those long 9 classes. But the first thing that we would say to people is, you know, we're not here to change your mind. We're not here to tell you how you're supposed to live. We're not here to say that anything that you're doing is wrong or anything like that. It's just mainly about learning how to have kitchen table talks, learning how to learn the perspectives of who you're working with, learning where they come from, their background. Yeah, they may be raised a certain way, talk a certain way, say a certain things or whatever, but doesn't mean that they're a bad person. More times than not, they're just uninformed about, you know, things that maybe you have gone through or maybe that you have experienced. So going through those classes, it was interesting. We had a lot of people that were like, oh man, I did not. That was a great class. I didn't know it was going to be like that. I had the full understanding that it was going to be this. And then, you know, also you got your people that like, no, we're gonna talk about this. And then things got a little heated in there, which I wanted it. I was like, cool. You know, if you want to get hype about it, let's have these conversations. This is what I'm asking for. Exactly. Let's do this. So, you know, had some deep conversations about some things. And then we ended up continuing it on and changed it around to actually make it into a actual classroom portion. So right now it is included in the promotional classroom part. One of the deputy chief, he or the chief of suppression, he teaches a section for newer lieutenants and captains and things, and he brings us in and we just kind of go over like a little quick snippet of our class. And it's just, you know, reinforcing that part of it of learning those perspectives. And we also teach that class to our recruit academy, letting them know straight off the jump of, you know, all right, you're coming into a department full of people with different backgrounds. You don't have to be black, white, Hispanic, female, male, whatever it is. Like there's so many different things that counts as diversity. You know, your religious beliefs, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, there's so many things that are diverse about all of us. So going into that class, we speak over the part of being open to having those uncomfortable conversations. because you're going to experience them. You're going to see those things. You know, there's going to be things on TV that you may see that you may not have experienced before. But if you're going to be a true asset with your crew and your department, like, it's okay to have those uncomfortable conversations with your people. Those conversations has built a strong bond between myself and my crews. We know what triggers each other. We know what where people have grown up at. We know where they're from. We know about their families. We know about, you know, their kids, their husbands, their wives, things of that sort. And has created that kind of relationship to where it means so much more. It's more than just a job. It's more than just clocking in, doing whatever, and clocking out. You build that family relationship and really getting to know each other. So we were able to run that discussion forum throughout all of our department, and also a neighboring department in Leland. We did a classroom portion there. And then we also did one for a few of the members for the North Carolina peer support team. And you know, we changed up a few things in there, added a couple things. A few things that we've added into it is conflict resolution. You know, things that we don't really think about until it happens. Now you get promoted to, you know, captain or whatever rank, and now you have, you know, this engineer or firefighter that's, you know, having these issues about it. Like, how do you approach these conflicts based off of, you know, certain type of diversity issues or anything of that sort, right? So we have a I have a captain that's actually on my team that helps me out with that. So he speaks more so on that portion of it.
Okay. I think the main thing, the key word for me is perspective. And that can go, it doesn't have to be like, you know, your whole perspective appreciation arose from the George Floyd incident, which, you know, has it can go so many different ways, but it could go towards anything besides that. It could be perspective on an individual's feelings on what a true engine company should operate, how a truck company should operate, politics, which I think politics and firehouses should be negative. Like,
Agreed.
I don't, if I walk into a fire station and there's Fox News on and I'm like, nope, all right, we're putting on ESPN, like neutral territory.
I end up putting like random stuff on it. I'll put Animal Planet on the
Sure, something. I mean, I
TV.
don't care if it's Fox, CNBC, and CNN, like, nope, we're going to put on something neutral because, like, all it takes is for someone to say something that somebody else hears that triggers it. And then next you know, you got like a beef towards the crew. So, you know, it's one of those things I try to always keep in the back of my head. Like, people are, oh, they are the way they are for a reason. And firemen, when you're going against the grain, they either will feel a certain way where they will embrace it, or they're going to be like, whoa, like we have an outsider. And you know, my thing is, and I can relate it to as far as like being into the job. That is my perspective. Like, when we show up for work, we need to be there to do the work. It's not time to hey, I'm gonna run a little bit of payroll or check my expenses on my side hustle, or you know, whatever the case may be. When you're at work, you need to be present at work. Granted, I'm not saying you need to be there dialed in 24/7, 365 all the time. There are times where, yeah, after 5 o'clock, you've done everything we're supposed to do as firefighters. Like, yeah, go do your thing. If it's not bothering anybody, it's your downtime, absolutely. But when you walk in through those doors and the first thing you want to do is, all right, quickly knock out you half-ass your truck check, half-ass check your gear, and then it's like, all right, I got to go handle my own business. That's where I see that that's a problem. And for some, their perspective is, well, you just think you're better, or, you know, I'm not 100% all in. I get it. I'm not saying you need to be, but you kind of need to be when you're on the clock.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely think that's highly important of, you know, being into the job as soon as you clock in, because that goes into, you know, expecting fires, expecting victims, you know. So, you know, you clock in and all of a sudden the bell rings, you know, 15, 20 minutes after you've clocked in, like, are you ready? Like, we don't have a choice but to be ready. We need to train, you know, work out, become, we are athletes. You know, we don't have that capability of, you know, NFL and
Right.
NBA, where they know their game day. They know what they're training for, what's going to happen, but we don't know if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the morning. But either way, we still got to be ready. Like, the community doesn't care that, oh man, I'm running on like 30 hours of sleep or 30 minutes of sleep. You know, I'm a little tired right now. Like, they don't care about that. They want us there. They want us to solve whatever their problem is. It's our job to do that. So coming in each day and really taking pride and ownership of what you're doing. Like, you know, check off your air pack, make sure that, you know, it's a, I always put mine a little bit above 4,500. Like, we're lucky enough downtown where we have a Cascade unit, so I can fill up
Gotcha.
my bottles and stuff like that. Like, if we got it down, why not? Why not bump it up a little bit? Because, you know, I'm a little bit bigger guy. I need my breasts. I need more air, you know. So, you know, things of that sort with, you know, the air packs and our gear, making sure everything's staged right. If you don't stage your gear properly, you'd be surprised on just one little thing will throw off your whole operation. If your hood's not in the right place, or however you position it, now all of a sudden you don't know where it's at. You're trying to figure out how to put it on after the fact. You know, things of that, you know, training wise, hands-on tools, all those things. Like, I am 100%, you know, let's be here, let's be into the job, let's be present. And that afternoon we have the downtime, cool. Let's have the downtime, let's have
Right.
family time.
Right. Right. No. Okay. All right. You kind of spoke on it. How important is physical fitness and the fire service?
I definitely feel that it's very important, because I mean, regardless of what we think about, everything that we have gets heavy at some point. You wear your helmet long enough, you start doing this. All of a sudden, your neck starts to hurt. It's getting tired. You wear your air pack long enough, all of a sudden, man, my shoulders are a little tight. My shoulders feel a little sore, you know, or your back, however you're wearing it. You know, now your ladders, different types of ladders carry different weight to it. Whether it is, you know, different manufacturers of them. Start carrying water cans, your hooks, all those things, you know, it definitely pays a toll on your, or takes a toll on your body when, you know, you're not in shape. And depending on your responding area, us being downtown, there's a lot of stairs down there. We our tallest building is 14 stories. So we're, you know, we're going up the stairs, truck companies are going up the stairs to do recon, engine companies carrying up hose, getting things squared away on the standpipe. So, you know, we have to be ready for that job. If we get to the situation or the position of where we're like, oh man, I'm good enough, I'll be all right. No, I got to handle it. This job will humble you quickly. I've been humbled a few times and not afraid to admit that. And, you know, it's just all about how you learn from it and how you get back up from it.
No, that's a fact. I will say, and I mean, I might lose some points for by some people listening to this, but you know, at the end of the day, I don't really care. And people might be like, "Ooh, what's he getting ready to say?" Nothing crazy, so relax. But you know, you mentioned your helmet and the air pack. After a while, you are like, yeah, like your shoulders. But I will say, so 2 weeks ago, I assisted my buddy in teaching a search class. And on the first day, I wore my, we have the, I think they're called Phoenix. It looks like the leather helmet, but it's lightweight. So I've had a true leather and I liked it. And then the weight was like, oh man, after a while, your neck does hurt. And then when I got my new one, it was like, hey, this is a newer style. And I put it on. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of lightweight. But at the end of that day, man, my neck was sore and I was like, geez. And so the second day, there was a California style helmet laying on the ground, on the floor over there. And I was like, man, I'm gonna try this thing out. Bro, I put that thing on. It felt like a pillow on my head. My neck was good. And I get it. Some people are like, oh man, those things look stupid. It's not traditional. I get it, but I'm at a point in my career where I want to be comfortable when I'm on the fire ground. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand everybody has different, it comes back to that perspective thing. For me, I tried it and I was like, bro, I'm sold on this thing. And I told my buddy, I was like, hey, bro, I'm done with the leather. He's like, for real? I was like, for real, yo, like these California helmets are comfortable. And you know, so it just goes back to, yeah, you know, from air packs, because you know, it's crazy. It's 2025 and it seems like our stuff are they're getting heavier, not lighter. You would think as technology improves, so should weight of things, but that's definitely not the case.
It's definitely changes the game for sure. And you really have to pay attention to how you're training and how you're working out. I'm not saying by any means, I love a good brownie. I tear up some brownies. Brownies, cookies, sweets, those are my weakness. And you know, I had to change up a couple eating habits because I like to call them late night escapades, where
Okay.
late nights at the station, you know, go up to the kitchen and get something to eat. But you know, I had to change that up a little bit. But physical fitness, but when it comes into physical fitness, there's a difference between being physically fit and functionally fit. Because we can bench press as much as we want to, squat as much as we want to, lift a house, whatever it is, but if your functionability on the fire scene is limited because your neck can't even move or your shoulders can't move or whatever, like now we're not really doing any good in that situation. So like trying to mix up your workouts of, you know, doing some heavy lifting but also functional exercises as well, getting comfortable working out in our gear. You know, there's you know, things all over the place of, nah, man, don't wear your gear, don't work out. I'm gonna work out in my gear. I want to be comfortable being uncomfortable as much as possible, to where when the bell rings, it's time to go to work, that you know, I feel great and this is, you know, it's the best job in the world. It's the best job I ever had. You know, I can't complain about anything. So like I have fun doing everything that I do. So like, why not be the best at it if we can?
That's fact. Okay. So you know you're right now you're riding you're acting up as company officer. So my question to you is, in your opinion, what does leadership look like? What does leading as a company officer look like to you, or what is it supposed to look like?
I think allowing your company to make decisions, allowing your company to, you know, let them understand that it's okay to make mistakes. And biggest thing that I've learned from a lot of people is never forgetting where you came from. It doesn't matter what rank you go to throughout your career, like understand where you started at, why you got the position, or why you started in the fire service to begin with. You know, I never responded great to like somebody yelling at me for, you know, whatever it is. Like the way I'm talking to you right now is the same way that I talk to people whenever I'm teaching at the academy, whenever I'm teaching at the community colleges academy, the same way I talk to my crew, all that. Like I'm not gonna yell. I'd rather us be able to figure out what the situation is, figure out, you know, where the mistake happened, build off of it, and now we turn it into a learning situation and now we grow from it. I feel that leadership is strongly on allowing each other to work with each other, being a team bond, having that team bond, having that team method, but knowing that, you know, just because I got this rank does not make me any better than you, does not make me any higher than you are. Because if you see something that I don't see, like you have every right to be like, hey, I see this over here. I'm not gonna look at you and be like, hey, who's in charge over here? No, we're not gonna do that. Like, oh snap, you saw that? Okay, hey, good check, good look. Or yes, yeah, I saw that, but yeah, good look. Let's keep going, or whatever it is. But yeah, I love the aspect of just seeing the growth of the people around you that are on your company or on the department that, you know, I don't really like saying, you know, under me. I don't really like saying that. More so like, I guess you say less time than me, but and it being humble enough to know that if you don't have the answers to it, find those answers. Because years and years ago, the fire service was more so like, hey, I want you to do this. And like, you're going to do this, and this. There was no why behind it. Now there's I feel that even more so, the why factor is in there. Why is, I'm telling you to stretch your line to this front door here. The why behind that is because this is going to make it as quick as access here, but I want you to position your hose bundle here because the doors of the hinges open up this way. So now we can position it to where we limit our pinch points going into the front door. Or, hey, I want you to throw the ladder over here. The why is that? Because we're closest to the fire. We're able to shoot the gap under between these lines, these trees. We can accomplish more right here at the closest point. Maybe we need to do ventilation, make it to the roof, whatever it is. But being a student of the fire service, learning as much as you can, being a thinking fireman, that definitely helps us to gain more as people and gain more as a crew, as a company officer, as an engineer, as a fireman.
Well said. Okay. Final question I always like to ask the guests. Before you retire, where would you like to see yourself?
I talk about a couple other guys on the shift. They joke about us a lot. They're like, man, you're gonna be a chief one day. Like, I definitely see myself as a chief. I've bounced back and forth between like chief of the department and battalion chief. But right now I love the work. I love the job. I love being on the rig. I love being with the crew. But I do see myself one day being some sort of chief for the department.
Okay. And that's your goal. I always tell the guests I have no rebuttal for that, but I always like to ask the guests, and I ask because everyone has aspirations, hopefully. And sometimes if somebody lets another person know or another person finds out about their aspirations, they might laugh and be like, well, that's never gonna happen. And it's like if you ever look back at history or like especially athletes. A lot of athletes that were like had dreams of being NBA, NFL, whatever professional sports, there was always someone there to laugh, like, that ain't never gonna happen. And then it happens. And then it's just like, yeah. So I always like to ask that because I believe we should all have aspirations in something, in whatever the case may be, in life, whatever. And I hope if you have children, as parents, you should have aspirations for your children. So I always feel like everyone should have aspirations.
Yeah, I definitely feel that 100%. It kind of goes into just how I was raised, how I was brought up, like, unfortunate situation of just where I grew up. There was a lot of, oh man, you can't do that. Oh no, man, you're not, you ain't gonna be able to make that. You ain't gonna be able to do that. And all that did was instead of me, cowering down or just, believing it, I have a strong-willed mother who she ain't take no trash from anyone. And then, brothers that were older than me that, they were big. They were big now or big then. I'm bigger than them now. But, they helped me mold who I am today of like, all right, well, if they're gonna say that, then make sure you come back 10 times harder and show them that they ain't gonna say that again. And so I kind of keep that in the realm of my life of being humble, never forgetting where you came from. And if anybody doubts you on whatever it is, work harder.
That's a fact. I can say that the fire service, I don't want to say saved my life, because I don't want to say because I don't want people to be like, man, like where did this guy grow up? Like I grew up in an area where cliques and street gangs were prevalent in high school. But the way I went about it, I was actually smart about it. So like, you know, my dad and mom, they didn't play no games. Like ass whippings, they
Yeah.
would humiliate me in public. They didn't care. Like I remember when I got in trouble in school and the principal called my dad, my mom showed up, and then my dad had to like, he was late for work and like, bro was pissed. And like, I got an ass whooping in front of the principal. And she's like,
Yeah.
we don't allow that here. My dad's like, that's great. And he went, you know what I'm
Jesus.
saying? Like, he did what he had to do. And so I say that because, like, you know, when I got into the fire service thing, you know, I had some people like, bro, like, stay in your lane. That's not what we do, and
Yeah.
things of that nature. But I was just like, nah, that's cool. Like, I embraced it. I loved it. But like I said, I played the game where like certain people in high school, you know, they were known as, I don't know if you want to call them leaders, but like they were in charge of the cliques. But because of who I was, like I would say hi, and I would kind of use that where if people saw me talking to that person, then they would might be like, oh, like let's not mess with this kid because
Yeah.
he knows this person. Like, but my interactions were limited. But when I did interact, I always made sure it was for the positive. You know, they'd be like, yo, man, let me hold a dollar or two. And if I had it, sure, because it kept in the back pocket. Yo, if something ever goes down, I need help. Bro,
Yeah.
you remember I gave him
I remember
$2? That's right. That's
that
right. So like I learned to play the game. And I just like how you brought it up. Like, you know, your parents were like, yo, like this is what we're gonna do. For me, I didn't want to be another statistic. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Like, I wanted to do something positive for myself. And you know, I'm sure I hope my parents are proud. I think they are. And you know, my mom's watching up from above. I'm sure she, even though she hated the fact that I was in the fire service and she got me in it, that was the funny part. She hated that I was doing it, but she got me in it because in order to graduate high school, I needed community college credits. She's
Yeah.
like, go to the firehouse, go clean, and get your community services hours. And that's what I did, but I ended up signing an application for membership
Yeah.
and not knowing that that's what I was
Yeah.
doing. But like it saved me. Like I love what I do. There are times where I get frustrated because I look at what I think fire departments and definitely firefighters should act and think like, and I get it, we're all different. It comes back to that perspective thing. But one thing you're never going to sell me on is like, we're never good at everything. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? We always got to learn. I'm humble enough where like, there are things that I don't want to do in the fire service, and that's rope. I don't want to be hanging off no rope. I understand, you know, the strength, and if you do this knot and all that's great. I'm good. I don't hang off ropes and shit. You know, history shows brothers and ropes don't normally mix or whatever. I don't do ropes. I don't do water, right? I do water when I take a shower, but other than that, like it's that bond and being able to joke like that. Like I will joke and say things in front of others that don't look like me just to see their reaction, and they'll be like real quiet. I'll be like, bro, I'm just playing, like relax, you know, just that, get
Yeah, it's
that,
okay.
yeah, get that camaraderie going and stuff like that. But no, I just love, I love your answer, and I could definitely see with how you are, I could definitely see you achieving that.
Man, I appreciate that. Absolutely. Yeah, I know it's gonna take some time and some hard work, but you know, I love this job. I love everything that goes into it, everything about it. I've been fortunate enough to have opportunities to teach in different areas, and so it's been awesome. It's been a fun ride. Everybody's journey is different. Biggest thing, you know, don't try to base your journey off of somebody else's journey. I've had to kind of stop myself from doing that a couple times, and I'm like, man, like, what is he? See this person getting this opportunity to teach him, man. Why can't I do that? And it's like, hey, man, like, hey, reel it back in. Like, it ain't your time. That's not supposed to happen for you right now. Just, you know, keep learning, keep grinding, getting the books, the videos, you know, studying, learn as much as you can and be that asset and, you know, share as much as you can. You know, don't harbor in any kind of information. I try to share as much as I can, and when that time comes and it's time for me to elevate to those next levels, and I'm all here for it. I'm ready.
No, that's a fact. That's a fact. And you mentioned hard work, man. I look back at all the individuals throughout history. It doesn't have to be in the fire service, for it could be just American history, international history. Nothing worth having was easy. It all
100%.
requires hard work. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? And it's okay if we don't get it that first, second, third, fourth time or whatever. As long as we continually try to improve ourselves daily, to me, that's all that matters.
Absolutely.
Nick, I appreciate you coming on, man. I gotta give a shout out to Dina, because Dina was like,
Yeah.
hey, she's like, I got a guy. I need you to make this happen. I'm like, all right, Dina. Anytime Dina asks me to do something, I do it, because she's been very, very freaking good to me. So
She's awesome.
I appreciate you accepting the invite, coming on, man, and talking shop. I really do.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. I appreciate everything. Yeah, this has been awesome. I've been looking forward to this for a while.
Cool. Hopefully there'll be more to come. All
Yeah, for sure.
right, pal. Thank you.
Thank you.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.